We're going to start here in the Gemara on 16a, Tezayin Amud Aleph, at the bottom of the page. And we're talking about the Erev Tavshilin. That's what we're discussing over here. And the Erev Tavshilin was meant, the Gemara brought down to opinions whether you shouldn't eat everything up and not leave anything for Shabbos, the honors of Shabbos, or it's for the honor of Yontiv, so that we're not just going to do work for outside of Yontiv, so not to cheapen Yontiv, different reasons. Now, the Gemara is going to give a few halachas about the Erev Tavshilin. Zog the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Chiya. We learned in the Brice of Rabbi Chiya, that's the counterpart of the Mishnah, and the Brises of Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya learned, he says, Adashim Shebishule Kedera. You have lentils you were cooking, and then there are some lentils left on the bottom of the pot. So they were not really set aside for an Erev. They were just left over on the pot. Lentils, anything else, we're just giving an example. The lentils that are on the bottom of the pot, and Rashi says, Shebishule Kedera, Shenisharu B'loy Miskaven. They were left over unintentionally, they're left in the bottom part. But still, Soymech Aleihem Meshum Erev Tavshilin. You can rely on them. You can rely on them for Erev Tavshilin. On those leftovers. So you don't have to have kavona. You don't have to have intention. Put it away. Leftovers, you say, okay, those leftover lentils, that's going to be my Erev, and that's how I'm going to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Soymech aleihem, he can rely on them when? Med of Yom Tov, because the Erev you make from before Yom Tov, l'shem Eruv, that is an Erev. So what's the Chiddush? How is this different than any other food that you would put away for the Erev? So Rashi explains, v'lo yamrinon lo yichashivi ubeteili. And we don't say, well, that's not important. It's leftovers. So it's leftover in the pot. And therefore, they are nullified. They're not important enough to qualify for an Erev. We don't say that. But that is okay. However, the Gemara stipulates, Bahani mili the izbu kizayis. Chiya, in the Brice, it says that this is only true if there is enough lentils there in the bottom of the pot, the size of an olive, because the Erev needs to be the size of an olive. We've had that several times. The minimal amount for a kosher Erev is the size of an olive. The Gemara is talking already about unimportant stuff that you can use for the Erev. The Gemara goes even further. The Gemara says that Omar Rav Yitzchok Bereid Rav Yehuda says that Rav Yitzchok, the son of Rav Yehuda, Shamnunis Shal Gabe Hasakin. You have the grease, the fat, which is on the knife. Say that you were cutting meat, you were cutting chicken, you know, and you got fat built up on the knife. That's certainly like leftovers. Goyreroi. You scrape it down from before Yom Tov. Now, I guess, you know, people didn't want to waste real food that they want to eat. They have to make an Erev. The Chacham said to make an Erev. But they didn't want to go ahead and take regular food that they want to eat. So they're looking for sort of some things to put away so that they can cook. So he's saying over here, you can scrape off from Erev Yom Tov that fat that is on the... Now, I guess it's edible fat. I'm not sure exactly what the fat is of,
The Shemitz.
How about Shmalt?
Shmalt.
That's right.
But you have to eat what's in the Erev Tavshilin. So
you have to what?
Don't you have to eat the Erev Tavshilin
later on Yom Tov, when it comes to Shabbos?
So I mean, it's got to be so. You can't use something that's not edible.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely, and it wouldn't even go. Wouldn't even count. But I don't know. You can't eat just plain schmaltz either. But I don't know. But we're talking about something which is edible, and you can rely on it for Erev Tavshilin. I guess the same idea as before, even though it's not choshev, it's not important. So maybe you're going to think it's not going to qualify for an Erev, and he tells you no, that it is. And again, the same stipulation as before. Bahani mili the is buhu kizais. It is only true if there is the size of an olive in that shamanunis, in that fat that you scraped off. If it has a kizais, then you can count on it for your Erev Tavshilin. Further, the Gemara says, Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav, says Rav Asi in the name of Rav, Dogim Ketanim Meluchim. You have small salted fish. Now, this is almost like we have sushi today, when you don't cook even the fish, but the fact that they salted these small fish, they didn't require any cooking. They were just salted, and the salt that prepared them and that sort of cooked them or made them fit to be consumed, to be eaten. Again, I'm not sure exactly with the sushi, but the sushi is also something like the fish is not cooked in the normal way we cook fish. But these are small salted fish, maybe like herring or things like that, you have those canned sardines or something. But anyways, normally the rabbis don't allow for a yid to eat food that was cooked by a goy. It's called bishuli nachrim. The rabbis don't want the yidin to mix in with the goyim, and then eventually they will intermarry. So the chachamim said, stay away. If a goy cooked it, you can't eat it. But this fish that is being salted is not really being cooked. The salt serves instead of cooking it. So he's saying that these small fish does not apply b'shulei nachrim. Let's look at the Rashi. Ein b'hem mishum b'shulei nachrim. So he says this does not apply the cooking of a goy. So Rashi says shegozru chachamim b'shulei nachrim mishum chasonus. The chachamim decreed against eating food that was cooked by goyim because of marriage. This might lead to marriage. But va'al shenechal k'moshu chai, if it can be eaten raw, you don't have to cook it. You can cook it, but it could be eaten raw. Say an apple. An apple can eat raw. If a goy cooks an apple, it's not going to be considered bishul akum. It's not going to be bishul nachrim, because you can eat an apple raw. You don't need to cook it. So that can be eaten raw, like gozer al bishulay. They did not decree if you cook it. And the reason is the kibon shenechal kamoshu chai, since it can be eaten as is raw, ain't a bishul. That's not called cooking. Why? The loy ahani midi. Because you didn't accomplish anything. Cooking must make it into an edible food, but if it can be eaten raw, the cooking doesn't do anything. So therefore, he says, ve'elu necholin al yidei milchom chayim. these salted fish, even if you should cook them. So we're talking about a situation, you're not eating them. Of course, if you salted them, you didn't cook them, so there's no bishul nachrim there. I mean, the way I explained before was wrong. The way Rashi explained it here is different. It's not like, oh, you're salting it, maybe this is considered like cooking and you shouldn't be. No, the chiddush is here. You salted it, and therefore the salted fish, they can be eaten raw. Even if you cook them now, it doesn't apply to bishul nachrim. Why? Because the cooking didn't do anything. You can eat them ready as it is. They can be eaten in their raw state. What does it have to do here? Because we're going to see now the next halacha, which it applies, the Erev Tavshilin. Amar Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yochanan, since you're allowed to eat them, and you're saying that the goy's action does not count because we don't really need the goy, they're already ready to eat. So therefore, v'imtzolam nochri, if a goy roasts them, these fish, soymech aleihem mishum eruv v'tavshilin, you can rely on them for eruv v'tavshilin. And again, for the same reason, soymech yisrael aleihem doshoru ba'achila, because they, you can eat them, so there's no problem. It's a good Erev Tavshilin. You mentioned before, you have to be able to eat them. The whole idea is so you can eat them later on. So this is permissible to be eaten. And the fact that it was roasted or is by the goy doesn't matter. However, what is the din? The e avdinu nochri kisa d'harsano. If the non-Jew makes it a kisa d'harsano. Kisa d'harsana means he makes it a mixture, a fried mixture. Rashi teaches kisa d'harsana metugan b'shemen kirve dogim ubekemach. You take the innards of the fish and you fry it in fat and with flour, similar to the way we make today. You fry fish, right? So you put in some flour or some other covering, put an egg, and you put a coating on, and it seems like something like that. So you fry the inside of the fish, and you have flour, then it's usher. So while roasting is okay, but this frying, putting in flour, is usher. Why? Because the kemach, Rashi explains, einoy nechal kemoishu chai. Flour cannot be eaten raw. So even though these fish, this inner fish, they can be eaten, salted, and the goy frying it does not make it bishul nachrim, but since you mix in kemach, you make it into a kasud harsana. So therefore, lefikach yesh by mishum bishul inochrim. So that's why this becomes bishul akum, and therefore you can't use it for an erev because you can't eat it. So the goy making, turning that into a kosa d'harsana would not be allowed. Freddy Mora Pshita, it's obvious because it's a bishul akum. He cooked it. The flour is not something which is fit to eat. So, of course, the goy prepared it. So, what do you have to tell us? The Gemara says, Mahu the table. We might think, so we have to turn the page. Tazayin Amud Beis. So, you might think that the harsana ikar. Harsana is the fat of the fish. So you're cooking basically fish with flour and maybe since the main part over here is the fish, and that would be a good example, the way we fry fish today, and you put a coating of a flour or a coating of matzah meal, what they do, various different coating. So you're saying, well, the fish is the main thing. The coating is just the coating. So therefore, maybe it should not be bishulakum. Kamash malon, it tells us, kimcha iker, that the flour is the main, and therefore it is bishul akum, and therefore you cannot use it for the Erev Tavshilin because it's bishul akum. Further, the Gemara says, Omar Rabba Abba, says Rabba, Iruvi Tavshilin, Tzrichim Kezais, Erev Tavshilin Tzrichim. We already had this in the Gemara a few times. But the Gemara clarifies this now as a question. Iboilu. So the yeshiva, they had a question. Kizayis echod lekulam is the size of an olive of the Erev Tavshilin. For everybody who wants to use the Erev, because you are mezakeh, you are giving the privilege for everybody to cook. So one kizayis for everybody. Or perhaps there is a size of an olive for each one who wants to use the Erev. So the Gemara Toshma, come and listen and bring a proof. The Omar Rav Abba, Omar Rav, Rav Abba said the name of Rav. Eruvi Tavshilin Tzrichim Kizayis, Erev Tavshilin Tzrichim Bein Le'echot, Bein Le'meya, whether for one person or for 100 people, you need only one kizayis. The Gemara is going to challenge it now from a Mishnah, this halacha, that you need a kizayis. It seems from the Mishnah that you don't need a kizayis. But it's not. We learned in the Mishnah, ochloi. That's in our Mishnah, that if he ate it up, the Erev, he ate it up. Or it got lost. So he says, Lo yivashel olav b'tchilo. So, l'chatchila, don't, with what's left over, you can't go and cook. Because you don't have an Erev left over. But shir mimenu kolshu, if he left over a drop, semichol of the Shabbos, you can rely on it the erev for Shabbos, on that kolshu. The language of kolshu means any amount. That would imply, even if you don't have a reviz, even if you don't have a kizayis, any amount would be sufficient. Frey di gemara, my kolshu. What does it mean when it says kolshu? Lav, avagav leka kizayis. Doesn't it mean any amount? Even there's no kizayis. You're saying you need a kizayis. So that should prove that you don't need a kizayis.
But that's what? Only a bit of it. Yeah.
If no, you lost but, it but we're talking about you shouldn't cook on it. Lachatchila, but if shayir memenu, you can do lachatchila. Shir memenu kol shu, say mechol of the Shabbos. You can rely on it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says. So since it says left any amount, lav avagav deleka kizayis. Aren't we talking about it, even though there's no kizayis? And the Gemara says, lo, you know, the is make kizayis. It has a kizayis. So, why does it say kol shu any amount? So it says, the legabe, Rashi explains, legabe kikar sholim, relative to a full loaf, korele kol shu, this is called any amount. It's really a kizayis, but you do need a kizayis. That's it, the Gemara answers the contradiction that of a steer, it seems that any amount is enough. He says, no, you still need a kizayis. Toshma, come and listen. The Gemara brings out another proof. It says in the Braise that Tavshil Zeh, this cooked of the Erev, can be tzli, it can be roasted, vafilu kovush, even if it's been soaking. Rashi says kovush b'choymetz, in vinegar, u'b'chardel, and in mustard, u'mine yirokis, and kinds of vegetables. So it's not just the food out there that you can take out and eat, it's something that is being soaked, it's being processed, it's being, know what they call it, but no, being prepared.
It's made part of a bigger portion.
Yeah.
It's also an ingredient within a larger thing.
Sholuk. Sholuk means overcooked. Umavushal means kilchasi. You know, normally, good, regular cooked. And also, v'kulias ha'as ponim. What is the kulias ha'as ponim? So, t'rashi dag maluachu, it's a salted fish, v'rach, and it's soft, v'nechel k'moy shehu chai, it's eaten as is raw, elo sh'neisnin olav chamin, you pour hot water over it, v'zebishuli, this is the way you cook it, you pour over hot water, k'ditnan b'sechte Shabbos, aflamates medalev, sh'adachosu yizuig marmalachte, if you rinse it off, this is complete the cooking. So you have the kulias ha'asponim shenosun olav chamim erev yomtev, that you've put the hot water for erev yomtev, so it's cooked. It's an erev. You use for an erev. Shenosun olav chamim garsina sh'asuloi merev yomtev bishlo royulo. So they made for this kind, for merev yomtev, a fitting cook. It was cooked properly. So he says, to begin with, which means when he made this food that you're using for the Erev, there's no shir how much it needs to be there, and also in the end, when he eats it up or is lost and leaves out, there's no shir. No shear in the beginning and no shear at the end. Seems to say that we don't need a kezayis. Says no shear, not to begin with and not even of what's left over. So the Gemara says, my lav ain't lo shear klal. Does it then not mean there's no shear? Doesn't have any shear at all. Ain't lo shear klal, loy le rav, loy le mat. Not for a lot and not for a little, meaning can make a whole lot, and not less, and you can have as little as you want, and as much as you want. That's what we're talking about, the no shir, less than a kizayis. And then more says, loy, ein loy shiur lemailo. There's no amount above, meaning higher, as much as you want, loymar shelo yosir boy al kach bekach. There's no shir to say the erev has to be a certain amount. Don't make it any more than that. That's what it means. Ein le shir. There's no such a shir. Aval yesh le shir lamato, but it does have a shir below, which means loy yufchas mikizayis, not to make anything less than a kizayis. Amar Rav Huna Marav, said Rav Huna Marav, Eruvei Tavshilim Tzrichim Das. For the Erev Tavshilim to work, you need to have in mind. What does it mean? Tzrichim Das, Zokt Rashi, Sheyedu Shelishim Kach Nasu, that they should know that is what it was made for. They should know what it was made for, and that it's an Erev. Now, Rashi explains, Rav Huna just said you need to have in mind, but Rav Huna lepidish das mi. He didn't explain whose mind do we need. Umefarshinan le'anan, the Gemara is going to now explain following this sentence. V'amrinan, we say like this. Ha'vadai pshitalon. This is obvious to us. The Chomar Rav Huna tzrichim das, when he said that you require the knowledge, Daita de maniach miu boy. We must at least, minimally, we have the one who's placing the air, we must have his knowledge. The ihu adif, because he is the one who is the more important person that he knows, she oiseyu l'shem kach. He must know that he's doing it for the Erev. You're the one that making the Erev, so for sure you are included, that you have to be knowing about it. Miu miboyilom, but what do we have the question? Das mi shenichu l'tzorkoi. Do we need the mind, do we need the person who it's put for that he should know? Kigoin, for example, the asahu zeh l'tzorech chaveiroi. You're making it for your friend, you're making for him an Erev. And the question is, klum tzorich sheyimolech b'tchilo la'seis ha'apiv. Are you required to consult with him first that you want to make an Erev for him? I'm going to make an Erev for you, must I tell you? Or I can just do it for you? As the Gemara explains, so this is, Rashi gave over what the Gemara says now. So the Gemara, pshita, this is obvious, that das maniach be'inon, that we require the mind of the person who's putting it, that you have to know that you're making a neirav. That's not without a question. But das misha nichloi be'inon ole be'inon. But the question is, do we need the mind of for whom it was put? Do we need it or we don't need his mind, the one we put it for? And the Gemara says, Toshma, come and listen, I'll prove this to you. The Abua de Shmuel Ma'ariv Akulu Nardo. Shmuel's father, he would make an error for all of Nardo. They couldn't know that he's making the error for them. He made it for all of them. Also Rabba Ami v'Rabba Asi Ma'ariv Akulu Tveria. They made an error for all of Tveria. So basically, you can be Mezake the way we do it. You can be Mezake for everybody who wants to rely on this Erev. You don't need to tell him. He doesn't have to have his mind that you're making the Erev. And the Gemara continues that Machriz Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi would announce, and he would say, Mi Shaloi Hiniach Erev Tafshilin. Anybody who didn't make their Erev Tafshilin, Yovav Yismach Al Shali can come and rely on my Erev Tafshilin. For the Gemara of Ad Kamo, how much did he have in mind? Which people? Anybody? All over the world? What's the boundaries? Of Rav Nechumi Bar Zechariah Mishmeid Abaya. So Rav Nechumi Bar Zechariah said the name of Abaya. At Tchum Shabbos, up till 2000 Amos, the Tchum Shabbos, those are included in your Erev. At Tchum Shabbos. Ula'im Dim Chutz L'Tchum, but those who stand outside of the Tchum, the mind of the person who's placing the Erev was not on those people who are outside of the Tchum. It did not enter his heart to remember them. He didn't think about them. And therefore, his Erev doesn't count for them. Sog the Gemara. Ahu samya dahave misader masnito. I think samya means a blind person. I don't have in mind on those who are negligent and intentional and they're negligent, who don't care about the words of the Chachamim, and they just, you know, arbitrarily miss out. It's your second time. So I don't make the error for you, and therefore you can't rely on my error. Okay, I know it's not a full shear, but